How many of you think I'm going to hula hoop with this? You're in utter deception. No, you're in utter deception. Tell you what, you do this message and you start hearing the voice of the Lord. And you may struggle with it at times when He wakes you up early and says, go to Walmart. Buy a hula hoop. I rebuke you. I'm asleep. Get up, go to Walmart. But it's raining, Lord. Get up. Anyway, you'll understand why here in a little bit. Praise the Lord. I think I'm just going to stay down here today. We're only going to really introduce this. Okay. By the way, that was fabulous. That was fabulous today. I was just a wet noodle over there. You hit it out of the park, my brother. I got to tell you, I'll never forget. Da 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 da. You've been talking it. Da da da. Here's girl. Yes, sir. Okay, open up to John 14. We'll start right there. This year, at the prayer center in Tulsa, we've had many words such as this. I remember one of them. I brought some of them. I may read them at another time, but if I get into those today, we won't touch on what He really wants to do this morning. But one of them was, this is the year we sell out to Him. That came through my lips, but it was not my thoughts. It was the Lord. And to be honest with you, when He said that through me, how many of you know it's good to confess your faults one to another? Well, it is. That you may be healed. When that prophecy came through me, there's still enough pride in me that I thought, okay, these people here, they're going to have to sell out to Him because I'm already pretty sold out. I mean, okay, you can owe me if you want to. Well, within that very week, then, He showed me in my personal life three idols that I didn't even realize were idols. Were they evil and wicked things? Not at all. But they were things that over a period of many years, little by little, I was giving too much of my life to. Too much of my, let's say it a different way, too much of my time to. Too much, I'm going to go ahead and use the word affection. Okay? I'm not going to mention what they are because then you would think you're free. Because my idols would not be your idols, probably. It would be different things. Another word that came this year, when He says, after He said, this is the year where we sell out to Him. And by the way, when He showed me those three idols, He didn't show them to me for me not to make a change in my life. And I had to change. And it isn't easy. I'm still struggling with it. Why? It's called withdrawals. I'm not on drugs. It's not like that kind. But when you have an affection for something, and if it gets to be too much, when He says, cut that out of your life, or at least reduce it way down, there's part of you that doesn't like that. And it's a period of adjustment, okay? Well, then after that one, now this one didn't come through me. It came through another voice at the prayer center. It doesn't matter the voice that it comes through. What matters is it the Holy Ghost. And this other one says, this is the year that He is going to bring us with a laser focus on revival. Laser focus on revival. Tim read that prophecy at one of his services, and he had Derek up in the booth shine a laser right down on his chest, you know. I mean, when you are laser focused, that's how serious it is. How many believe we are coming into revival? If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. I do believe that. So that's John 14. This is our verse, John 14, 12. Everybody knows it, but we're just going to start here. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now I left out the word works there because it's in italics. The greater work is the only one that Jesus could not do before the cross. The greater work is to raise somebody from the dead, which you do every time you win somebody to Jesus. That is the greater work. He himself never got to do that in his own physical body. Okay? He was the firstborn from the dead. But we get to do that greater work. But now what we're talking about in revival is not that. We're talking about the other works. The blind see. The lame walk. These are the calling card of God. This is the advertisement for the kingdom, but it's more than that. This is the loving Father wanting to bless a sick, poverty-stricken, sinful world. To bring heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Okay. Well, Dave, when he was taking us all down the born-again trail, he would mention this verse, John 14:12. And he would say, Lord, we're not arguing with you. We understand that. We recognize that. But Lord, it seems like that journey from the knowledge of that verse to walking in that verse, that journey most of the time seems to be longer than our lifetimes. We never really seem to make it to doing that on a regular basis. Now, I thank God for every miracle I've ever seen. We saw some last night. I've seen more miracles since I've been associated with Dave Roberson, the prayer center, and all of these others. I've seen more things than I ever saw all those other years growing up in a denominational church, and I thank God for that. But now I've got to be careful here. My good friend, Lynn Perez, is sitting right there. She has a son, Tommy, wonderful young man, 30-something years old now, 38. Since I've known her, really from childhood almost, he has had, is it muscular dystrophy? I always get them mixed up, cerebral palsy. Many years ago, Sue and I went the first time. Aaron was with us on that trip. And I didn't go to pray for Tommy. I mean, in my heart, I thought for sure that when we went to pray, he would get out of the wheelchair. Well, we prayed, like Dave says, you'll never convince me. I milked every cell in my body for faith. So did Sue. I think Christy was with us, Christy Smith. Linda was there. We're all praying with all the faith that we have, see. All that we know to do. And to this day, we can't get him out of the chair. Now, to be honest with you, I've had certain people. No need to mention names. Oh, God, I see friends. Friends. I've had people actually write me letters and scold me for my lack of faith. Because I'm willing to share that, to tell the truth. I always write them back, and I say, I will pay your round-trip airfare. I will put you up at the Ritz-Carlton. I will buy you meals at the best steakhouse in New York if you can get Tommy out of that chair. And I mean it, and I mean it now. And if it takes the rest of my life to pay it off, I mean it. Now, you know and I know that if Jesus himself somehow could walk into Tommy's room, Tommy is not staying in that wheelchair. He is not going, there's not a chance in the world that he would stay there, see. Now, this is the journey that we're on, is it not? The works that I do shall you do also. And greater than these shall you do because I go to the Father. I think right now, if Jesus came, and how many of you know Jesus loves us? Was that a great worship service? He loves us. But I'll be honest with you, I think if he walked in right now to Gary, I'm not going to talk about you, I'll just talk about me. He's always mean to me and nice to you, is that okay? I don't think he'd give me an attaboy about Tommy. I don't think he'd go, well, you tried hard, son. You did good. You know, I know you prayed. I think I'd get the same from him that the disciples got when that man brought his lunatic son. And, you know, the disciples, they had been casting out devils. It's not like they hadn't seen things. We've seen things. They hadn't been healing the sick and casting out devils before. But when that one came, for some reason, and I think it was partly because of the physical manifestations, it affected their faith. And there's others here we could... We're all in this boat together. Amen? Amen. Well, what did Jesus say when he come down off the mountain and he found out that what was going on there? Did he give him a big attaboy? Oh, good try. I'm proud of you. I think the King James is very polite. He looked at them. He says, how long am I going to be here to do this? How long am I going to have to do this for you? You bring that boy here to me. And you know, in short order, that boy was free. So would Tommy be. So would some other children I know of. Immediately free. But then they asked the only valid question, and thank God they didn't ask publicly, you know, because he would have answered publicly. They got him, you know, privately later, and they say, now, why didn't it happen? We saw what happened when you prayed. Why didn't it happen when we prayed? I don't like his answer. I wish he'd have said, well, because that was a particularly mean, nasty, big devil. That would have been acceptable, you know. But see, I have to take it like they had to take it. He said, there was only one reason why it didn't happen when you prayed. Because of your unbelief. See, and I remember that day. I'm just picking that one because it's so precious. I love them so much. This lady one time gave me a car. Now, I'm going to be in trouble for telling it was her. She calls me. I knew it. She calls me one day and says, I have a car, nice car, low mileage. You can have it if you'll come get it. And I said, I live in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I said, well, where is it? It's in New York City. But I did. I flew there. They gave me a car. Still driving it today. We call it the Queen. It's a nice car. You know, I like that car. Hallelujah. They're so precious to me. I still remember that day. I was shocked that Tommy didn't get out of the chair. I was. I thought sure that he would. And here it's all these years later. And we're still on this journey. This is the year we sell out to him. This is the year we focus with a laser beam. If there's things that we have let become distractions, idols in our life, this is the year we're going to lay them down. We're going to get back in with the Holy Ghost, back in the Word, fasting, everything that we've been taught. Because every word, I mean, if you were to come to the prayer center, those of you that's been there before, if you come, you'd go, gee, this building is more slopety than the last time I was here. You know, those of you that's been there, you know how it is. The carpet's more wore out than the last time. That carpet was wore out 22 years ago when I started. And it's still the same carpet. You know, less people probably than the last time you were there. You know, what I'm saying is everything in the natural looks like it's worse. But every time the Holy Spirit speaks, he says, you're making great strides. You're closer than you've ever been. You're right on the edge, right on the cusp of revival. And I tend to believe what he says.
Amen.
Rather than what my eyes see.
Amen.
All right? Well, on this journey, trying to understand, trying to walk in John 14:12. I have seen things happen. I remember, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry, I'm not. I only work here. Incoming, just a minute. Okay. Yes, sir. In 1998, at my website, GaryCarpenter.org, in 1998, there came forward a series of teachings that came to me by the Holy Spirit. The title I put on it was Face to Face. When Jim has those, he calls them upper room conversations or something. Same type of thing. But in 1998, the Holy Spirit, and that all happened as a result of doing what our pastor, Dave Roberson, taught, distinguishing God's voice. If you've never heard that set of tapes, it's only two messages. It's at his website, daveroberson.org. I highly recommend it. By the way, you can afford it. It's all free. Okay. But I began to do what is taught on those tapes, and I did it. I'm another one of those that just, I don't have any quitting sense. You know, if I know it's true, I'm going to stay at it until it happens or I die. And so days became weeks, weeks became months as I did that, and I saw no benefit, no results. But sure enough, just continuing to do what is on those two messages, one day I began to hear the Lord in my own language. And I would record those when they would come, just speak what I was hearing. Transcribe those, and that's what's available at the website. He reminded me of one of them this morning. Somebody recently gave me an iPad, but it's kind of like David's armor. I have not yet tested it. This is what I'm used to, so I've got that particular face-to-face document on here. This one is the one where he talks about, he was teaching me about the gifts of the Spirit and how I was to expect them to flow in mine and Sue's life. And I'm going to read you something that he said to me years ago about the work, 1998, about the working of miracles, that particular gift. You know the nine gifts of the Spirit? One of them is working of miracles. The Holy Spirit said to me, says the number one obstacle to the walking, excuse me, I am going to need that iPad soon, I can tell. The number one obstacle to the working of miracles is natural thinking. Programming received by a lifetime of information through the five physical senses. Now this may hurt some. He's talking to me. But it is, quote, regarding your God small that prevents the gift of the working of miracles. Regarding your God small. Think you it is harder for me to work a miracle than it is for me to make it rain? Think you it is harder for me to work a miracle than for you to take your next breath? The working of miracles must become a small thing in your mind. Your concept of your God must grow. You must understand that there is nothing impossible with Him. Therefore, there is nothing impossible with you. The working of miracles is as nothing to me, says the Spirit of grace. Now, he's going to give you an illustration in today's lesson that's really going to bring that home. Your mind must develop to that capacity. As with the gifts of healings, instant obedience without question to what I say and what I show you is required. Delay and hesitation kills the working of this gift. But I will perform miracles that will astound you and astound the world if you will follow through on your promise of obedience without question. Many shall come to the Lord, for they shall see the working of miracles as infallible proof that Christ lives and that He lives in you. Instant obedience and respect for the largeness of your God is what causes the working of miracles to be manifested through you. It's pretty good. That's two paragraphs out of quite a few pages. I recommend those to you. We have them in written format at garycarpenter.org. It's in the face-to-face. I also read them out loud, recorded that, so we have them in the MP3 format. You can put them on your iPod or your iPhone or iPad, iSomething, and listen to them. Now, recently, that helped. And I got to tell you, after that season of training, 97 and 98 is when Sue and I really began launching out into ministry, traveling to Bronx Church, traveling to LaRue's Church in Houston. We began coming here shortly after that. And really around the world, we've ministered in South Korea 6 years in a row. We ministered in Africa and Poland and other places. In Canada, thank God. We have seen things. We have seen miracles. I started to mention one in South Carolina. When the gift of faith comes on you, one of the first times that ever happened, we were in this little bitty church. I think there was 12 people. Drove 1,500 miles to preach to 12 people. We went for the offering. No, we went because that's where the Holy Ghost said go. And divine connections that are going to affect destiny occurred there. But in this one trip, this lady, I knew she had cancer, and she was already in chemo and all of that, and she was wearing a bandana because she'd lost all her hair. You know, they wear that on her head and everything. And we're just praying for people, you know, at the end of the service, just a normal service, and just praying. And we come to this lady, and I just prayed a normal Gary prayer. What would you pray? Father, I just thank you for healing her in the name of Jesus, you know, and everything. And you know, she didn't. Well, she did, actually. She fell. I don't know whether it was a courtesy drop or not. I mean, anyway, she fell. Now, I'm walking away, and the gift of faith come on me. Now, Pastor Dave talks about that. When the gift of faith comes on you, at that moment, while it's on you, it's impossible not to believe. Because it's his faith. I turn to her. She's laying on the floor. And I come and I said this. When we come back next year, you will have your full head of hair in Jesus' name. And I walked off, and the gift of faith left. And I went, oh God, oh God, oh God. Why did I say that, oh God? Oh God, what if she's not here? What if we come back? What if she dies, God? You don't say any of that out loud, okay? That's not a faith builder for the people. Okay. That gift of faith is something when it comes on you. I mean, you know, I'll never forget that next year when we come back, driving back into that little town in South Carolina. She's standing out front, raven black hair, just almost fully, not quite as long as it used to be, but well, a good head of hair, just doing like this, you know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because if she hadn't have been, I was going to turn around and drive back. But see, so I'm just saying that to say thank God for the things we have seen. But Tommy's still in the chair. See, I don't know what Tommy prays. I think Tommy would be praying, Gary, you really need to be watching so much football. I'm not against football. Everyone knows I love football. It's not evil. But if I always wonder what Tommy would pray. Gary, you going to come back? You going to pray again? You going to get me out of this chair? He's probably too gracious. Tommy's a loving, loving little boy. Yeah, well, he's not a little boy anymore. He's a young man now. Okay, I got to stay focused. I got to do what he told me. Somebody lock the doors because we're going to have a geometry lesson. Most of you know my history as a truck driving. God had me in the right job, perfect job for a man that needs to catch up. When I started hearing this message at that season in my life, I was driving trucks long haul, and most of you know that testimony. I was in the perfect job for somebody that needs to get paid to pray. And I played catch up for about 2 years. I mean, praying 40, 50, 60, sometimes 70 hours a week. And just exactly what Pastor Dave said began to happen. I began to have visions and dreams, and I began to hear his voice. And he began dismantling all kinds of false doctrine in me. And I've told that story many times, but the truth of the matter is I do have an engineering degree, and I worked as an engineer for several years with Union Carbide. So I say it this way, I am educated, I just don't act like it. I have become all things to all people that I may win some, okay? But I do love engineering. I like mathematics. Be honest with you, somebody gave me a book here a few months ago, and I didn't read it right away, and I should have. But it's really a mathematics book written by a person who is a mathematician, but he's also a believer. And it's called The Fourth Dimension. It's not the one written by Yanji Cho. This one was written back, I think it was copyrighted in the 1920s something. And I'm sitting around him, and it starts off with basic geometry and begins working up. And it's good. I've got it for you, Jim, and I'll just give it to you because you can't buy it or find it anywhere. I've got it in a PDF format. Anybody can just contact me. You can have it. But it's really a mathematics book, especially in the beginning. I know, how many of you sit around and read mathematics books for recreation? Not too many. Cole come by, my grandson, 10 years old, he come by, he's going, "What you reading, Papa?" So I read him a paragraph. He said, "Okay." But I want you to watch this. Now remember what he said there? He said, the working of miracles. The biggest hindrance to it is regarding our God small. Yes, sir. The other verse, he reminded me again. Now this is a couple of times. He go over to Luke 18. If we're going to walk in John 14:12, we're going to have to overcome Luke 18:27. And there's just no time for context. Let's just take the verse verbatim for what it says. Luke 18:27, and he said, I'm still here in pages. I want you to see it in your Bible. Luke 18:27. Okay. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Can we all agree on that? The things that are impossible with men. Now, to illustrate this, we're going to do a simple geometry lesson. Okay? Don't run for the doors. He's going to make this simple and I think entertaining enough for you. The simplest form in geometry is a dot. It doesn't get any smaller than that. Just a dot with really no space. If you can just picture a dot. All right? The next thing is a line. A line is a series of dots. It doesn't have to be a straight line. You could have a curved line, but it's a line. Got that? Now, a line is what we would call one-dimensional. All you can do, and I'm, for illustration purposes, I'm going to stay hopefully where the camera can see me. There is a blue line, which I've been trying to sing the song, Get on the Blue Line. It just doesn't, I don't know, but anyway. There's a blue line right here. So, that would be one-dimensional geometry, two-dimensional, so it's length only. That level of geometry only has length. There's no width. There is no height. There's only length. You got that? Like that line. If it was like even smaller than it is, like with just length, that's all that there is. The next one is called two-dimensional geometry. On it would be like a what we would call a plane. This is just like a flat sheet. Two-dimensional geometry not only has length, it has width. Can you see that? Length and width. But in two-dimensional geometry, there is no height. There is no depth. You're restricted to length and width. The next step above that is what we call three-dimensional geometry, and that's where we live. The physical universe that we're familiar with is three-dimensional. We have length, we have width, and we have height. All right? Now, with that frame of reference, let's go back down to the line. One-dimensional. Let's say there is a universe. Now, when Cole was little, he would say, "Papa, can you pretend? Pretend with me for a minute that there is such a thing as line land. There's a universe and it's just line land. There's only length. If this blue line represents that universe, that I would have to shrink down to a dot. I'm not going to get that small, okay? But to be really, see, you're seeing me with height because you can't help but see me in three dimensions. But really, I would be a dot living in line land. And my whole universe, there's no moving to the right, there's no moving to the left, there's no height, there's no depth. All that I know is line land. And I can go this way, and I can turn right around, and I can go this way. And I'm happy in line land. And I went to university in line land. And I learned all of the physics of line land, and I'm going, I'm pretty smart. I know the physics of my world. I know what's possible and I know what's not possible. I truly understand Lineland and I know everything in it. And everything is fine until suddenly, it doesn't matter. Now, I'm just picking something. This could be anything. Don't read anything into this. But suddenly, there's an obstacle on the line. Doesn't matter what it is. This educated, smart person that truly understands his universe suddenly comes to an obstacle he can't get past. How does Dave say that about a cow at a new gate? You look at it, this wasn't here yesterday. I don't know. And see, in his universe, it's an insolvable problem. Because he needs to get to the other side. But there is no such thing as width. There is no such thing as height. This is impossible. To Lineland, this is impossible. Come. But suddenly, someone from Flatland, someone who lives in a two-dimensional universe and knows there's such a thing as width as well as length, suddenly, this beneficial, generous, loving person sees my dilemma, and I can't... Oops, I need this over here. Don't push me again. Anyway. He sees... I cannot get past this, and I can't see him, because he's in a universe that's beyond where I live. But suddenly, he reaches over with a hand, and he goes, whoop. And do you know, in my universe, I disappear when he does that. Everybody else behind me goes, ah! He was there! And he disappeared! And this benevolent person from Flatland, he just brings me over and sets me down again. And when he does that, I appear again. And I'm on the other side of the obstacle. And everybody goes, it's a miracle. But the guy from Flatland goes, that really wasn't very hard, you know. Really wasn't very hard. Okay, you can go be seated again. Does that help you? Okay. Yes, all right. Great. Now think. But then, okay, I'm going to let you do it. You're so smart, you just come over here. See, now the Flatlander, he's all puffed up now. See, he's all puffed up. He says, this guy, I had him. Those guys were so ignorant over there. They don't even know about wit. So he lives in Flatland, see? And in his world, there is length and there is width. So he can move. He can go back and forth. He says, I'm educated. I'm smart. I know my universe. There is width. There is length. And I can move around. I'm not like them little, the poor little pitiful Linelanders. But suddenly, he comes to a dilemma. Because there's an obstacle in Flatland. And this one is different. Now remember, he has no height. There is no concept of height or depth. There's only length and width. And here's a barrier. And he's going, maybe there's an opening. I walk around it. You need to get to the center of that, see? You need to get to the center of it. And you're going, there's no opening. There's no door. There's no window. There's nothing I can do. This is impossible. Yeah, take a good job. This is impossible. With Flatlanders, it is impossible. But see, then there's somebody benevolent who lives in the three-dimensional world. And in the three-dimensional world, there's not only length and width. In three-dimensional world, there is height. So he watches this benevolent, loving, kind person, watches this poor little Flatlander. He keeps bumping into the circle, bumping into the circle, bumping into the circle. And all the time he's going, I'm smart. I know physics. I know what's possible and not possible. And about that time, this benevolent, generous person comes over, picks him up. And when he does, all the rest of us go and sets him down in the middle. And when he got picked up, he disappeared. All the rest of us went, oh, what? And then there he is again. Oh, my God. Does that remind you of a verse? And Philip was found at Azotus. You remember that? Okay, you can sit down. Okay, now you're done. You're out of here. It's this guy we're dealing with now. Now, he's kind of puffed up because this three-dimensional guy, he had the answer for the flatliner. And he's walking around going, you know, I'm smart. Not only am I university trained, I'm a preacher. I know the universe and I know God. And I'm just pretty well, I've just got it all together. Sorry, can you come? Can you, please? Yes. Please. I'm going to be very nice to you, trust me. He's got it all together until he comes to a situation like her son Tommy. We could have Tommy here. And this guy who's got it all together and understands his universe and thinks we understand God. Until we're faced with a situation like Tommy. Then he does everything we know to do. And we should do everything that we can to help in the natural, in what the physics of our three-dimensional world, what we know to do. I'm not against doctors. I thank God for doctors. But the things that are impossible with men. See, this is, we're together here. We prayed, we fasted, we cast out devils, we shouted, we did everything we've ever known to do. Tommy's still in the chair. Now, when you're ministering in another man's church, always make the pastor God. You hear me? Hear me? Somewhere from up on high, there is this benevolent, loving, all-powerful God who doesn't live even in our three-dimensional world. He lives in our higher dimension. Can we say that? He lives in another realm. In the Bible, it's called the realm of the Spirit. Whatever that is. But that world supersedes this world.
Yes.
The physics of this world does not limit beings from that world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, even angels operate differently because they're from that realm. So here we have this dilemma. Now he's going to represent the Holy Spirit coming down because he sees us in our misery. He sees us the things that are impossible with men, even born again, serving God men. The things that are impossible. He just comes over. And just like Jesus did, whatever he does, Tommy rises up whole. That day is coming. That day is coming quick. Give everyone a hand.
Hallelujah.
Does that help? And to God, it's so simple. That's what we have regarded our God small. We have thought He is limited like we are limited. We thought He is dealing with the same physics that we're dealing with. He's not. Power is not the problem. What is the problem? I remember the Pogo cartoon I read when I was a little boy. Pogo. I know most of you are too young to remember Pogo. I never forgot it. Lodged in my brain. I was about 6. And whatever this little cartoon strip was in the paper, Pogo says, I have met the enemy, and he is us. The devil is not really our problem. The devil has been defeated. It's us and our unbelief. Now the good news about that is, see, the devil's not going to change. God's not going to change. God's word is not going to change. But the good news is, we can change.
Amen.
We can change. This year, He's calling us to focus like a laser. Refocus again. Sell out. If you begin to pray and the Holy Spirit starts showing you idols and things that's taking up your time, say it differently, taking up your life. See, the devil, if he can steal your time, he'll steal your life. He'll steal your ministry. You'll be stepping into eternity one day and you'll be going, wasn't I supposed to do the same works? What happened? Time. Okay, a few more things about the fourth dimension. Now, mathematically, it's not... Okay, it's simple. Mathematics, absolutely there is a fourth dimension. Mathematically. You can do all kinds of equations, and in that fourth dimension, to be honest with you, we would not have jet engines today if they could not do calculations using that fourth dimension. There are other ones I could tell you about, which I won't right now, but I know we know scientifically that this goes up at least to 12 dimensions. How many of you think God lives in the highest one? I think He does too. Whatever that is, and I'm not trying to get super spiritual or scientific, you know, science fiction is what I'm trying to say. This is genuine fact. In the fourth calculations, yes sir. Okay, do it this way. See, mathematics bows to no politics. Mathematics has no agenda. Mathematics is pure. It has no religious connotations. It has no. It's just pure. And to me, the mathematics is really close to the language of God. See, I am absolutely convinced that real science and God always agree, because God created all things. And if science doesn't agree, it's just because science hasn't caught up yet. See, Job knew way before they ever proved it. Job knew way back then that God hung the earth on nothing. The Greeks didn't know that. They thought there was some God named Atlas with the world on his back, you know. But Job knew it all those centuries before. How did he know? He got it from God. See, God knows real science. And when mathematics is pure. Albert Einstein himself, as a young man, one of his early theories, he said that time is not a created thing. That time is just always has been. In his later years, and a paper he wrote later, he says, one of the great mistakes of my life was that I ever said that time was not a created thing. It is a created thing. See, because at the speed of light, time stops. Did you ever notice the first thing that God said when He was aligning our world? In the King James it says, "Let there be light." But in the Hebrew it says, "Light be." Now if you really read that, He is not talking about the sun. Because the sun is several more verses down, the sun and the moon. Now this is Gary's theory so far. This is not doctrine at this point. But I have thought long and hard about this. I believe what he was doing there was establishing the light line between where he lives and where we live. Everything below that light line has time with it. But mathematics will prove that if you could really run at the speed of light, if you could do anything at the speed of light, time stops. How many of you know God lives outside of time? That light line, I believe, is where we live. And everything, angels live above the light line. Jesus now lives above the light line. Okay, I don't want to get any. You okay?
Yeah.
Let's get back to the fourth dimension. I'm strayed a little bit. Mathematics will prove to you, if we have a basketball, like a hollow rubber ball of any kind, like say the size of a basketball, and on the inside of it we put a hard red ball. In our three-dimensional world, how do you get it out? How do you get the red ball out? Surgery. It's the only way we know to do it, right? Did you know in the fourth dimension, mathematically you can prove this, you can remove the red ball from the basketball without ever cutting into the ball? Does that remind you of any verses? And the disciples were all hidden and the doors were shut. And Jesus appeared in the room. See, I used to read that, and they just had a fish dinner. He ate a fish, walked through the wall, and it always amazed me that the fish didn't slide down the wall. Somehow the fish gets glorified when he gets inside of him, see? Jesus now, see, that realm of the Spirit, now this is exciting, because you got to understand that Spirit, that born-again Spirit that's on the inside of you, is from the above-the-light realm. The Spirit you had before was below the light realm. But the Spirit you have now is from that other world. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, until you receive that Spirit, you can't really know the things of God. It's from a whole other realm. I hesitate to use the word dimension. I hesitate to use the word universe. See, I used to wonder, like I've heard other preachers wonder, well, is like heaven a planet? Another planet? And I was thinking in our universe. No, it's not. It may be a planet, all right, but I'm pretty sure now it's not in our universe.
Right.
I'm pretty sure now it's that. This, for me, it answers so many questions. Like how God says things, I'm with you. And yet you go. Sometimes you can feel His presence, but you can't touch Him. But see, if that realm envelops our realm, let's say it that way, that, I hesitate to use the word universe, dimension, where God lives, I believe He really is right with us. We just can't touch Him, can't shake His hand. Angels live there. Angels can appear. They can walk right through the wall and appear, and they look human. Some have entertained angels unawares. That means they didn't know they were angels. So they can appear human and talk with you. Yet they can disappear and walk right out through the wall. Your spirit is already from that realm. We have a capacity to understand the things of God from the realm where God lives. He said to me another time, I didn't look this one up. Now this is what He said to me. And we don't have, to be honest with you, we don't have to understand these things in order for miracles to happen. Do you understand me? It's called faith. Trust, just obey. That's what He was saying. Just obey what I tell you. Trust me enough to obey what I tell you. And you will see the miracles. But He did tell me in that back in 1998, He said, for me, He said, your understanding of the anointing will come to the place that the anointing will be like a tool in the hand of a mechanic. In the same way that a mechanic would use the correct tool to solve a mechanical problem, you will so understand the anointing that you will know exactly what to do to solve the Tommy problem, say, or whatever problem it is. Well, that sounds a whole lot like the works that I do shall you do, and greater than these shall you do. Well, did you survive the geometry class? Was that simple enough? Did that help? Does that help? It's a start, isn't it? It's a start to help us start understanding. Now, yes, sir. Previews of coming attractions. I've never taught this yet. I've only been hearing this, so I get to hear it this week, maybe when you do. We've all known the Father. I've been hearing it this way. The Father, the Visitor, and the Helper. Jesus was a visitor from that realm who lived in our realm to show us the perfect pattern for what is possible for born-again people wearing fallen flesh once they have been empowered, co-laboring with the Helper. And the Helper is from that realm. You are from that realm. The real you. We're about to see some works. Pastor, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.